And ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again to bring in Arthur Schwartz. Good morning and Happy New Year, Arthur.
Happy New Year to you. Shana Tova.
Shana Tova. There we go. So now, is it raining in New York?
So did you have your apples and honey last night?
I did not have my apples and honey
last night. That was our dessert. We did not have a Rosh Hashanah meal, although it was a festive meal, ending with an apple cut up and some honey.
But you didn't have the traditional meal.
I don't know. There is a traditional meal.
Yeah, I don't think
know.
So.
What, in your family, what was a traditional meal for Rosh Hashanah?
I forget because it was every other year because, of course, we had a Catholic side of the family and a Jewish side of the family.
I would say that most Jewish Ashkenazi, that means European Jewish families in America make brisket, make a large piece of meat. Although there's no on Passover, you're not supposed to have roasted meat, so a braised piece of meat is perfect. However, on Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to eat. You know, the tradition is you can have roasted meat. So, I don't know. People have roast chicken, roast turkey. Rib is a kosher cut, so you can have a prime rib. I'm going much more modest today. This is not what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about something way thriftier than a festive meal, although for me it has become festive. I somehow happened across this recipe that ran in the New York Times 4 years ago, a recipe from a Korean-American chef who grew up in Los Angeles. His name is Roy Choi, and he is credited with creating the, I hate the word gourmet, but I'm going to use it here, in quotes, the gourmet food truck. He made Korean tacos. Very, very L.A., right? Although there's a place here in Brooklyn that makes a Korean taco place here in Brooklyn. But anyway, he's credited with a lot of stuff, and in fact, he's quite accomplished. He proves... he went to the Culinary Institute of America, even though he grew up on the West Coast. And he proves my point that he was a very troubled youth who ended up in culinary school. That most, because his family was very affluent and they could afford to send him to culinary school. But I would say that a lot of chefs are academically challenged. In any case, they're people who don't really like to study, and they become chefs. This does not mean they're not smart. The really smart ones end up becoming entrepreneurs, restaurateurs, owning multiple businesses and being the inspiration for other chefs that they hire to create food, maybe to recreate their food, whatever the case may be. There are many different cases here. David Chang is a great example of this. David Chang, another Korean-American, who opened up a noodle bar here in Manhattan and now is an international restaurateur with the TV program and blah, blah. By the way, the TV program is on Netflix. It's called Ugly Delicious, and I highly recommend that each episode is about a different food.
You know, we have
to Roy Choi, pardon me?
We have a noodle bar that just opened up here.
You did? Good. Well, noodles in soup is a big deal thing these days. There are ramen places all over America. I'm sure in Sharon, too. That's what this place is. Or it could be Chinese noodles in soup. In fact, a thing I love is that we go to a Chinese roast shop that also makes delicious broth in which they put the most delicate wontons. I mean, the skins are really, really thin. In any case, back to Roy Choi. So I ran across this recipe online, and you take it was Roy Choi's comfort food when he was a boy. This is what his Korean-born mother... and raised mother used to make for him as a snack, I guess, you know, for anything. As he says, it was my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So it's you take a package of ramen, you know, the instant ramen. Now, when I went to look for this in the supermarket, I found I just happened over a brand called Nissin, N-I-S-S-I-N. It ends up, that was the original instant ramen. I think it's at least 80 years ago, you know, maybe even close to 100 years ago, invented by a Japanese guy. These dried noodles that come in a cellophane bag with what they call a flavor. Oh, his name was Momo. It's on the back of the package. His name was Momofuku Ando, and he invented them. Well, actually, I was wrong. It's 1958. He created chicken ramen in Japan. And so this is this Nissin brand, which I got five for a dollar. That's 20 cents a package. Had no added MSG, which is the reason I bought it, because Mr. Harned claims he gets headaches from, I'm saying claims because this is not proven, that he gets headaches from MSG. But anyway, it is called the original Nissin Top Ramen. I bought the chicken flavor. And what Roy Choi does with it...
You throw away the packet, right?
No, I didn't throw away the packet. Huh. Well, I mean, then you just have boiled noodles, right?
But I use my own chicken broth.
And then you add it to your own chicken broth.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you have good chicken broth in the house, I would do it. But let me tell you how this gets enhanced. Right. You would never know that it was with that flavor. The flavoring packet is largely salt and chicken flavor. This one doesn't have any MSG in it. So you boil up the noodles. You bring 2 cups of water. You're going to be amazed at what I add to this. You boil up 2 cups of water. You add your noodles. You let them cook for 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I think 3 minutes because we don't like hard noodles, but 2 to 3 minutes. I like to take a chopstick and stab it in there and jiggle this wad of curly noodles until they start separating a little bit. I mean, they will, even on their own. So you jiggle them every, you know, like sort of stir, but not really stirring. And then you add the flavor packet and stir that in just until it dissolves, which takes seconds or a second. And then, this is what Roy Choi's mother used to do, you slip in an egg, a raw egg, and a pat of butter, meaning a teaspoon of butter. And finally, as the egg is sitting in the hot liquid, in the hot flavored liquid, I don't want to call it broth, with a pat of butter, you break in one or even two, I like two, slices of American cheese. So this recipe with two foods that people sneer at, meaning American cheese and the flavor packet of broth, turns out to be an amazing bowl of ramen. Very creamy and rich, of course. It's not low calorie, by the way. I was sort of horrified when I added up the numbers.
3,000.
Because they say these packets of ramen serve two. I don't know who two. Two four-year-olds. Two adults, no. So you want to eat a whole packet per person. That's already 300 and whatever calories, almost 400 calories. And then you add an egg for another 80 and a pat of butter for another 30 and two slices of American cheese. It depends. It's gotten up there. So what depends is American cheese is not something I normally buy or eat. But my nephew, who has two little girls, 2.5 and 4.5, he buys American cheese for them as a snack. It's easy. Rip off a piece of cheese. But he buys it from Fresh Direct. And, you know, it's I don't know if it's sliced to order, but it's not in the package. It's whatever brand Fresh Direct has. And I looked it up this morning, and they don't tell you what brand it is. They just tell you, oh, it's really good American cheese. Well, of course they're going to say that.
Is it white or yellow? I'm looking.
It's white, and it's really good. Well, maybe they have yellow, too, but Brian
they
buys
do.
White.
Please choose thickness cubing. Seriously. From Fresh Direct.
You know what? They're probably not any different from each other. Annatto, A-N-N-A-T-O, which is a very innocuous coloring coming from a seed. In Latino cooking, they use it a lot. When you get yellow rice, it's colored with annatto. So anyway, I don't care if it's yellow or white, but he buys the white, and I, you know, ate it for breakfast one morning. It's very, very good on hot toast because American cheese melts so easily, and you just put a slice of cheese on your hot toast, and it's almost melted and delicious, I thought. But then when I went to make this ramen, I had to go out and buy American cheese, and I discovered there's like a zillion brands of American cheese. And instead of I started to read the labels, but instead of reading the labels, I decided, oh, let me start with what most people probably buy, which is Kraft singles, which are individually wrapped. So it was okay in the ramen. I wasn't complaining. But when I tasted the cheese on its own, I thought, well, this is horrible. There's reason people are disdainful of American cheese if all they know is Kraft singles.
So I'm just having a moment because I'm reading the description on Fresh Direct of American cheese, and I am one of those people who finds Kraft repulsive.
Well, the Kraft singles are repulsive.
Okay, so this...
I agree, and also in this day and age, isn't it such a waste to have each one wrapped in plastic?
Yeah, and I'm sure that I wonder how many people forget to take off the plastic, but let that pass. All right, with a deeper flavor, this is from Fresh Direct. With a deeper flavor and texture than most American cheeses out there, our white American cheese just might make your next grilled cheese sandwich, cheeseburger, or tuna melt the best one you've ever had.
Yeah, I read that this morning myself. I agree that it is excellent cheese. For American cheese, it's excellent American cheese. But I did a little research on the word American cheese, the name American cheese. Because, of course, we have zillion cheeses in America these days. They're all American cheese. But what we call American cheese is supposed to start out with cheese. It's supposed to be starting out originally, too, with cheddar cheese. And then it is processed, and other things are added, like I'm not going to tell you, actually, because in my search for... something better than Kraft singles. No, come on, Arthur. Here it is. In my search, I went to Whole Foods, actually for meat, because my Whole Foods has great meat at good prices, by the way, too. That's amazing. I found Applegate Organic American Cheese. And the first ingredient in this is organic cheddar cheese. This cheese was significantly better than the Kraft singles. I mean, I would buy.
Was
this
it better
again.
Than it's, Fresh
it's
Direct?
It's very expensive, though.
Applegate is, but they're.
Pardon me.
I said Applegate is, but their products because they have Genoa salami. They have a whole range of products that don't
yes,
have.
Yes, they do. They have a lot of cold cuts
that don't have bad cheeses. Stuff in it. So that's
well. This only contains cheddar cheese, organic butter, water. Sodium citrate seems to be the preservative of choice. It's even in Kraft singles. Salt, and the cheese is made with vegetable rennet. I'm not going to explain that now. Natural rennet is comes from the gut of a lamb. So, or sheep, whatever, I mean, or cow. Anyway, this organic American cheese, as I say, but it's also, I think it came out to when I figured it out, because it's a 5-ounce package, it comes out to like $15 a pound. I mean, that's more expensive than real cheddar cheese. But will real cheddar cheese melt into your ramen as readily as this does? I don't think so. Certainly, I mean, I if you look online, if you go to the New York Times cooking website, and look up this recipe, Roy Choi's ramen. I don't know how it's listed, but you'll find it. I did. I've made it a zillion times now. And when I looked at the recipe again this morning, I realized I wasn't really making the full recipe because he garnishes, he's a chef after all, he garnishes it with sliced scallion and sesame seeds. And as many of the commenters pointed out, you can doll this up in a lot of ways. You could add a vegetable, for instance, or as Marshall does, you could use your own broth and not the seasoning packet. But I think that sort of defeats the whole deal here. You know, I used to write, I once wrote a column called Two Cans Are Better Than One, the recipes that you just dump things together. This is like that. This is like the egg. Oh, so the egg, by the way, does not get fully cooked. I have to warn everybody. Even though on the New York Times cooking site, it looks like the egg has been fully poached, it doesn't get fully poached. The you'll get some cooked white. See, if you only let it sit in the broth for a minute, and I don't like to let it sit much longer than that because I don't want it to get cold, I'd rather have the yolk. You could turn the heat out underneath, or maybe you should add the egg for the last minute of cooking. But if you really want a fully cooked egg, I'm happy to have strands of white and the yolk just thickened. And when you stir it into the hot broth, it enriches and slightly thickens the broth. Also, the cheese melts instantly. So I want to get back to American cheese for a minute, because I think if I served this to you, you'd never in a million years guess that what was enriching it was American cheese. I had two incidents in Italy where I didn't know it was American cheese. So what do they call American cheese in Italy? They don't call it American cheese. They're sottilette, which means little thin things. So, or we could say singles, you know, too, the Kraft singles. These are sottilette, and I think the Kraft brand started the word sottilette. So I'm eating in, believe me, nowhere Calabria, up in the mountains, and it's a little restaurant run by a husband and wife. She's in the kitchen. He's in the dining room. It's for people in the know, you're eating Calabrian home cooking. Served by a real character. I mean, the man, by the way, he speaks English because he was a waiter and captain in London for years. And he came back to his hometown, turned his family hovel, really, it was almost a shack. There was a lot of new construction going on in this town and around him, condominiums. But he was on his old property, in his old ancestral home, and you expect to have all local food. So we get this plate of sliced potatoes that were each slice fried and then topped with cheese.
Oh, it sounds like raclette, only
most
better.
Most delicious melted cheese. And Iris was with me. We looked at each other and said, what could this possibly be? Like, we sort of know around here, what do they have, Caciocavallo? No. It ends up, so we say to the owner, what kind of cheese is this? And he says, oh, sottilette di Kraft.
But that sounds so much better.
It does. That's very fun. That's
yeah,
very.
Yeah. Well, this is not the only time this happened to me, because, and this recipe is in my book, The Southern Italian Table. A chef friend of mine makes gâteau, which is a Neapolitan festive dish. It's basically, a lot of you will know it as potato pie. In America, Neapolitan Americans made it, even in restaurants. And it's mashed potatoes, usually mixed with cheese and sometimes with bits of salumi, you know, ham or sausage in the middle, and then baked in a breadcrumb-lined casserole, and my friend makes it in her restaurant, which is very contemporary, although she makes traditional food that's been contemporized slightly. Sometimes not at all, but presented in a contemporary way. So she makes this gâteau with sausage and broccoli rabe in the middle. And it is so creamy. Usually it's mozzarella in the middle, but I knew this wasn't mozzarella. It wasn't stringy. It was just creamy. What is it? My secret ingredient. You know what it turned out to be.
Kraft.
Sortilette.
Yeah, I wish I liked the taste of sortilette.
Well, you would if it was good. So try the Applegate; it's really good.
The Applegate.
Even though it's expensive, or does Fresh Direct deliver in Sharon?
I'm sure they do, but that's not. I guess the whole thing is melting point, and
That's right. The whole thing is melting point.
I'll wait another 20 degrees for cheddar.
I'm glad you brought that up because most people, I think. Restaurants used in the beginning Kraft slices because they melted so great over hamburgers or whatever they wanted to put it over, broccoli or whatever. It just melted
right.
Better.
Exactly.
There are different cheeses have different, mozzarella, right. Blah, 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 melting point.
Well, mozzarella is stringy.
Yeah, that's true. So you don't want that.
If you want creamy, melty cheese, fontina. And also, it's not too aggressive.
Right. Fontina. Now, you raise...
Real fontina from Italy, not fontina. Well, I don't know. There's Danish fontina. It may be good, too. Who knows? This is my thing with Swiss cheese, another cheese that's too maligned as far as I'm concerned. Technically, it's Emmentaler. That's the Swiss cheese with the holes in it. But I have to add, this is intense. People have asked me, how come Swiss cheese doesn't have holes anymore? Well, it does have holes, but it has fewer holes, and that's intentional. I think it has to do with the weight of the wheels, but better for trade. And not all Swiss cheese is made in wheels. Sometimes it's made in those long, how do you describe those long rectangular
slabs?
Whatevers? Pardon me?
Slabs, maybe?
Slab, I don't know. There's a better word, but I don't know what it is right now.
All right.
So, in fact, it's very hard to find real Switzerland Swiss or Emmentaler these days. In fact, I had I was in a local supermarket where I'm never going back for various reasons, but this was one where the appetizing guy, although they have all the Boar's Head products, which is, I think, really commercial, and I don't usually buy them. But I do buy the Boar's Head Swiss cheese when I see it. And so I said to the guy, do you have Boar's Head Swiss cheese? Well, they don't make Swiss cheese. I said, yeah, they do, because I buy it in another store. He says, I don't know. I'll have to ask them. Anyway. So it is hard to find. But Boar's Head does make a decent... barely decent one. It's very mild. I like mine much nuttier. But if you want to buy a big hunk of Emmentaler, you can find that. But it's hard to find sliced good cheese. What they'll give you is either Finlandia, which is made in Finland, obviously, or Jarlsberg, which is made in Norway. And they're decent cheeses, but not the same to me as real Switzerland Swiss Emmentaler.
Right, and I'm wondering. To me, real Switzerland Swiss Emmentaler has a more tang. But
a nutty flavor,
yeah.
Really nutty flavor.
But why do the Nordic? I just think that's interesting that Finland and Norway are in the Swiss cheese business.
We're not.
No reason.
Good market.
You go into any
supermarket and ask for Swiss cheese, you're going to get one of those.
No, I understand. Here yeah. It's Finlandia or Jarlsberg.
But U.S. is very, very loose about these names. I don't think you can call, for instance, in the wine world, which I know better, you can say Burgundy, you can say Champagne. We have never signed the international treaty that assigns these names to only the geographic area that they are. So, I mean, Champagne, if it's called Champagne, should be from Champagne, from the region of Champagne, where the wine is closely monitored and regulated, and we know what we're going to get in the bottle. I mean, there are different styles, there's different quality, but we know that we're going to get wine, you know, I don't want to go into all the details, but anyway. So in the U.S., we do, in the good California sparkling wines, call it California sparkling wine. They don't call it champagne. But it's not illegal to call it champagne. And, you know, when I was young and drinking wine for the first time, we used to buy something called Mountain Chardonnay or Mountain Burgundy and Almaden, remember, in the jugs?
Yep.
Well, that had no relation at all to Burgundy or and I'm not sure the Chardonnay was Chardonnay. Only later did California adopt rules where you named the wine for the variety, the varietal, as they say in the wine world, of grape. And then it had to be, I think that still has to be 75% that grape. You're allowed to blend in some other things. The rules may have changed since the last time I looked. These wine rules often do. And then, of course, there are now geographical designations that came later even. But we're still allowed. I mean, you can buy, here's an example. This irritates me no end. If you go into almost any liquor store and ask for Marsala, you're going to buy the number one brand in America, Opici, which is made in New York State by the Brotherhood Winery. And you got to really search for Marsala that is actually made in Marsala and is genuine Marsala. Port is another one. A lot of American port out there, but it's not port. It's a sweet wine made in America. I don't even know what you'd call it, but it's not port, from Portugal.
Do you ever like port cheese, where they put port in
the
cheese?
Yeah, I could live with it. You know, usually the problem is not the port. The problem is the cheese is not the best quality. So if you can get a good quality cheese that's ribboned with port, that could be good. But
that could be yummy.
I would rather be eating the cheese and drinking
the wine. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
And I'm sure that's where it came from. And somebody thought, well, let's put these two things together. Do you know what raises a really interesting topic along the way is how many people you line up 10 people and you say, okay, where does Marsala come from?
Yeah, they're not even going to know. It's from Western Sicily. And it's from a town called Marsala, which, by the way, is a really interesting town because it's on the sea. It has the famous salt flats of Trapani. It's in the province of Trapani. And besides having, because it is a winemaking town, they have some good restaurants and a very large Tunisian population because it's a fishing area, and besides that it was originally settled by North Africans, it's now resettled by North Africans, and you get great couscous in Marsala.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to talk about great couscous the next time.
Couscous made with fish.
Right, Marshall's shaking his head because he's saying we're out of time.
Well, it's 8 o'clock. That means I have to get off.
All right. We'll miss you. We could talk about this
where
for hours.
Where am I going?
Where are you going?
I'm going next month. I'm going to New Orleans for a week.
Yum. Mm.
So I'll broadcast from New Orleans.
But I heard your coffee maker earlier. Oh, I did.
Do you want to sing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Remember that? What brand was it?
It was a percolator.
What brand was it?
It's a percolator. I don't use a percolator.
I know, but I'm just trying to.
I have one.
Nescafe.
No.
What was it?
Was it Maxwell House?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
What does that have to do with New Orleans?
Nothing. Very little.
Except that New Orleans.
Commander Palace. Commander's
coffee.
Palace.
Coffee with chicory.
Oh, chicory. This is nothing I like worse than chicory coffee.
I think I'll have
like
to have
less.
A cup or two while I'm there.
I've got to regain control here.
Okay, regain control. Happy New Year to those who are celebrating today. If you're not doing anything formal, at least have an apple with some honey. Okay. Or bread with honey.
Bread with honey.
In my family, by the way, we never had apples. We had bread. Challah with honey.
Challah and honey. It's
challah.
Challah and honey.
Yeah. Challah and honey. Special round challah for New Year. It's usually you have an oblong, an oval challah, but for New Year, for Rosh Hashanah, it's round, symbolizing the endlessness of life.
Okay. All right, Arthur.
Thank you, Rabbi
Schwartz.
Happy New Year.
Bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Reubner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Reubner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.